This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
When you're good to mama, mama's good to you.
I turn to you like a flower leaning toward the sun. I turn to you, 'cause you're the only one.
And when I fall down, I have to pick myself back.
Is Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome everyone. I am Michelle Barber and you are listening to Stand Up Straight, where we aim to provide a vehicle for the allied supporters to stand up for our GLBT&I community, to encourage and create greater inclusion, share stories, give advice, create dialogue or introduce a new way of thinking, but most importantly, to facilitate change towards greater acceptance of our rainbow family in all its shapes and sizes. So big thank you to the gorgeous Chris and Cam for some great music and a bit of banter and chatter and gossip as always, and for the Informer team that bring us up to date on everything that's happened around the world and locally each day, and to Stephanie for the news that we just heard now. So tonight we've got a full studio, which is a really nice feeling, actually, because the conversations take a bit of a different shape when there's lots of people in the studio. So I'm joined tonight, as always, by Clayton.
Good evening.
And Beck.
Hello.
Oh, and Stephanie.
Hello, Michelle.
Who may be not quite as nervous as she was the other day, but is going to be panelling for us tonight. So thank you, Stephanie, for panelling for us tonight.
All right, fingers crossed, everyone.
You will be fine.
Maybe don't cross them, Steph. It might be harder to touch the buttons.
Well done. So tonight's program is titled Parenting the Same Sex Way, and a little controversial maybe, and yet the title kind of implies that there's a difference, whereas parenting's parenting, regardless of who they are, good, bad or any other way. Tonight we're joined by someone familiar to some of our Joy listeners. She was one of the hosts of Around the World in 80 Gays, and Anne Louise, who will share her news, her experience, and help to shatter the illusion that same-sex parents are anything different to every single other parent. So Anne Louise is a chatterbox, so we can let her talk now. Good evening, Anne.
Hello. How are you all keeping?
We're all keeping really, really well. So tell us what your news is and why you might be in our little studio this evening.
Well, my news is that I'm 22 weeks pregnant today.
Yeah, we should have had that applause ready. We'll find that.
That'll do.
Spontaneous applause.
So we've got one of the lovely things about having you in the studio is I think we would call you no holds barred Anne Louise. We can probably ask you anything.
Yeah, fire away. Yep.
Going to ask you, there's no particular order with any of these questions, but who did you tell your partner is Robin?
Yep.
Who did you tell first, the two of you, or did you tell somebody first? Or
There was actually a girl in work who was with me through, because we conceived through IVF, attempted IUI and then IVF eventually. So it's a bit of a rigmarole.
And okay, so let's backtrack. So how does that discussion get had, perhaps between you and your partner? Do you have this discussion about?
Look, when I first met Robin 7 years ago, I was quite straight with her. You know, I was like, I want to have children in 4 years. Are you okay with that? And she was like, yeah, okay, I guess so. Four years sounds okay. Then 4 years came and went. And it was like, we were just having a good time and it wasn't the right time for us. Mm. And I think really like any other parent, there's never really a right time to do it. And I think the biggest prompt for us was that I'm 37 this year. So I think that kind of forced us to make a decision quickly whether we wanted to embark on this, because we knew this journey would probably be longer than a heterosexual couple. I don't know. You know, people have fertility issues and stuff as well. But we knew that it would be a bit more involved than you know, how easy it can be for some heterosexual couples. So anyway, we knew there was going to be stuff involved. So we had to kind of get going on it. So we embarked on it around this time last year. Just with consultations and various other things. And we knew ourselves that that we didn't want to have a third person involved in creating our child.
Can I ask why?
Look, there's a few different reasons why. You know, I've heard some good stories and I've heard bad stories about knowing who the donor is, and the good stories are you've got a beautiful rainbow family and you know the biological father tends to act like an uncle figure where they're involved in the child's life but they're not in the decision making process. But the problem with that is that if that relationship breaks down, you don't really have a lot of backup. So for us, it was a bit of a no-brainer. And we didn't have anybody. We didn't have anybody special like that in our lives that we really wanted to or felt that we could ask. Yeah. Because I think you have to feel comfortable asking somebody to do that because it's a big ask.
Absolutely.
It is a big ask. Just backtracking a little bit further, what are the actual options for you?
The options for us, well, there's the first option is you can have regular sex with a man with somebody you know. You can get somebody you know involved, and you can what people call turkey based. You can just take fresh sperm and go for it and see what happens. And then the next step sort of would be you can take frozen sperm and do the same process, so you and your partner can be in control of that at home. And that can be with a donor, with a known or an unknown donor, if you want to do it that way. The next step would be IUI, which is where you get clinical assistance. So basically, there's a whole process of donor selection. This is in Victoria and my experience only, like it does vary wildly across the country. So there is an IUI program where you basically get a list of potential donors.
What's IUI?
Sorry, IUI is intrauterine insemination. So basically, it's kind of like getting a pap smear done, except they just inject a catheter up your cervix, so you've got a better hit rate that way.
Wow.
So it's pretty much like a traditional kind of conception. They kind of hope for the best with sperm in the egg.
Do you know what's really interesting? That I've just sort of had these moment of Stephanie and I, the other two mums in the room here, and it's highlighted what straight privilege we have, that in theory, if Stephanie and I want to get pregnant, really it's a fairly simple process, and you're using all of this terminology and different options that you had to get pregnant, whereas all things being equal, Stephanie and I really just had a fairly easy time of it in a sense. And I just had quite an interesting moment then. Taken me back a little bit, I suppose, as to how easy it can be for us. We're going to go for a quick break. You are listening to Michelle, Clayton, Beck and Louise on Stand Up Straight on Joy.
In Vegas stays in Vegas, but what if it don't? What happens in my head stays in my head, but sometimes it won't. What if you knew what I was thinking? Would it make you like, whoa? I don't want to risk putting my foot in it, so I keep my mouth closed. All you hear is gonna buzz in my lips so the truth don't slip. Gotta beep out what I really wanna shout. Woo! My feelings keep escaping, so I make it a joke. Nonchalant, I keep on faking, so my heart don't get broke. I'm in a big, 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 big ocean, in a tiny little boat. I'll only put the idea out there if I know it's gonna float. All you hear is gonna buzz in my lips so the truth don't slip. That's why I go.
And you're listening to my mum, Stephanie, and Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. Say you remember me.
We have the lovely Anne Louise in this studio who is allowing us to ask her probably any question, I dare say, about being same-sex parents to be. And you are 22 weeks today. We've had some nasty person send a message in Anne Louise. Now, I don't know if you know who this person is. Obviously doesn't know their geography. What is that Scottish girl saying? I can't understand a word she's saying. Do you happen to know who that might be?
Yeah, I recognise that number. Although I have fallen for those texts once in a while on previous shows, like on her voice. She used to send them in all the time. This is my partner, by the way. She used to send them in all the time and I'd fall for them. I'm like, who would say that? Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, I have to say, a poor lady on reception who's just come in to defend Anne Louise, and we did have to say that. We did know who it was. So it's lovely. You are loved and cared for, aren't you?
Oh, yes.
So there was, we've got an interesting perspective in a minute that we'll be able to come to, because Beck is a lawyer and she's got some different kind of perspective that none of us would have, I think. But you would wanted to, Anne Louise, say that there was a few other options as well than what you went with. But what were some of the options that you might have considered?
That's right. So with the IUI, in order for Medicare to be able to support you, because in the eyes of Medicare and the law, and please correct me if I'm wrong, Beck, same-sex couples are deemed socially infertile, which basically means that given the choice, they probably could conceive. So there's nothing physically wrong with me that they know of that I can conceive. Because if you think about a fertility clinic, the vast majority of people in there are straight couples who can't conceive the traditional way, I guess, and need a bit of assistance in the clinic. And Medicare are fine to cover that. But because they deem us socially infertile, they basically give you a couple of goes. So you have a couple of goes with, or a few goes with IUI, which is intrauterine insemination. And if that doesn't work after a few attempts, they can then deem you as infertile and you'll then comply for the IVF program.
Okay.
Because the fact of the matter is, I could be infertile. And what do I, where do I draw the line? Do I have to try six times at a great cost to be deemed infertile? So apparently there is no law on this, and it is up to your fertility specialist to decide when is appropriate. And usually it's two or three attempts at IUI. So this is my experience. I don't know whether it's absolutely the law, but apparently it is a bit of a fuzzy line. So I did comply for the IVF program, and we went and did it, and I got pregnant the first time.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
I was really lucky.
In relation to decisions, and again, I'm not trying to be offensive or inappropriate, but is there a discussion around who will carry the child? Is
firstly,
it just a given?
It's impossible for you to be offensive,
I know,
Michelle.
But, you know, some people might want to... Oh, thank you. Some people would want to ask but don't. So what kind of discussion or what would have happened if both were as passionate about...
Yeah, it's quite simple. With Robin and I, it was quite straight down the line. She's absolutely no interest in carrying. She's maternal. She wants to have children, but she keeps saying she doesn't want to ruin her beautiful body. But I just think it's because she has no interest in the experience of doing it, where I really do. I'm a very sensual person, and the idea of carrying a child was something I didn't want to bypass. So for me, it was quite important for me to go through that phase of my life. But for her, not a bother. So it's a perfect situation, because she won't have FOMO because I'm having a baby, and I won't feel guilty that it's not happening for her. Ideally, I would love her to have our second child with the same donor. Ideally, it would be fabulous to be able to do that. But she doesn't have an interest, and I have to respect that. There are a few couples that I know that have had kind of similar feelings about it, and a particular couple I have, a friend of mine that I have, friend of mine's partner went through 18 rounds of IVF at an enormous cost, and she couldn't conceive, and she's still trying because she desperately wants to have a child. And her partner, who is my friend, got pregnant the first time conceiving at home with fresh sperm. So it's very unfair, and you know they're trying to deal with that disparity in their relationship as to why can you conceive and why can't I? I'm lucky that I'll never have to have that discussion, and because there isn't the interest there. But with them, you know, I'd say it would be a source of a bit of antagonism in their relationship. But look, they're a great couple, and they'll work it out. And I'm sure it's not an issue, but it just shows you that it's so easy for some people and so difficult for others. So I'm very lucky and privileged.
Dira, I'm just wondering, Beck, if you've, in your professional life, have you come across similar, or what's your focus, I suppose?
Yeah, it's really interesting, because I work as a family lawyer, and I do a lot of, work in this area. I do a lot of donor agreements, so people that are entering into an arrangement with a known donor will often have an agreement with the donor about things about the child. They're not legally binding yet.
Do you mean like access and that sort of, or what do you mean?
Everything from arrangements around how the child will be conceived to what will happen at the birth, who will be notified, what the child's name will be, how they'll be brought up, how often the donor might or might not spend time with the child. They're not legally binding, but I think they're a really good tool for discussion, particularly, as I say, if you're entering into a known donor agreement, there's so many questions, and it's a really good tool for people to at least have all those discussions. And I guess going back to what you were saying, I always think it's a quite interesting discussion I've had with my clients that often people who get pregnant in a heterosexual relationship, it can happen without much thought or forward planning. And in your sort of situation, yeah. I guess you have all this time to sort of think through who's going to have the baby, when, how's it going to happen, all those sorts of things.
And we undergo counselling as well.
Is that compulsory?
Yes, it's compulsory. And I honestly, I think every couple should have to do
it. I absolutely agree. But how did you feel... although you are in agreement, but the fact that you are forced to have it.
Originally, I felt a little bit offended by it, but then when I actually had the two sessions, I was like, this is great. It's really educational. Yeah.
You wanted to.
Totally benefited.
And do they sort of pry into your life a lot?
Not at all. Not at all. They're just preparing you for good news, bad news, the law, all that kind of stuff. So very beneficial. I think even a heterosexual couple would benefit from it.
And it's an education, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We are being educated tonight by the lovely Anne Louise. We are going to get to know her and ask some, a list that I saw online this week, 10 things you shouldn't ask a lesbian mum. We're actually going to see if we can ask Anne Louise.
Well, you're careful.
You're listening to Stand Up Straight on Joy.
Joy 94.9, Australia's best radio station.
Welcome back to Stand Up Straight. I'm Beck and I'm here with Michelle, Stephanie, Clayton and the informative and entertaining and wonderful Anne Louise.
Oh, she just hates those compliments.
I hate that. Compliments.
Absolutely.
We've got so many questions
if you out there listening, other than the offensive lady,
who's going to get please, a hiding later,
please send us a message in on 0427JOY949 or send us an email on air@joy.org.au. We would love to hear from you.
I'd like to ask some of those typical questions that everybody wants to know. Have you had your 20-week scan?
Yes, I have.
Do you know the sex?
I do, and I found out at 10 weeks.
Oh, I don't want to know.
Yeah.
Did you have the amnio?
Are you telling people?
I didn't have an amnio. Oh, yeah, it's totally public knowledge.
Oh, okay.
Would you like to know?
I don't know. I kind of like the whole, I'm old-fashioned. I kind of like the whole surprise aspect.
But the thing is, it was a surprise on the day because it was in an envelope and I got Robin to open it and she told me.
I want to know. Just tell me.
It's a little girl.
Oh, nice.
We won't tell Stephanie. She has a vagina. Oh, and that was confirmed in the scan. It was so funny because in the scan, they do the kind of nappy shot. So he's like, that's labia one, labia two. I'm like, brilliant. Oh, it's like a millimetre.
So, Anne-Marie, if fabulous. You ended up having IVF and you've got to, excuse me, because I am trying to do the panelling and it's kind of, you know, I'm trying to concentrate on the panel and on you as well. But if you had IVF, did you have two eggs inserted or just the one?
No, just one.
Just one.
In Australia, they don't really allow it unless you absolutely push for it or if you're over 40.
Over 40, okay.
Because you're over 40, your hit rate is a lot less than it is under 30, but not saying, because look, any pregnancy over 30 in Ireland is called a geriatric pregnancy. Any pregnancy over 35 in Australia is a geriatric pregnancy.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, they tend not to do multiples because there's massive risks attached to multiples. Mm. In Ireland, they will, but here they won't. And I understand why.
They need to find a better name for that.
What? Yeah, I know.
The geriatric pregnancy.
I like, actually quite like it because I'm like geriatric. Yeah, my arse. Looking in the mirror.
Of course.
You're looking good for in your geriatric.
Exactly. Right.
Exactly.
Looking
see.
Good for a granny.
She's got hands
mommy.
On hips what? When she says
and
that.
What about all the nasty bits? Any morning sickness? Have you been?
I mean,
you were talking about heightened sense of smell before, but
I kind of always had a good one, but right. Yeah, morning sickness week 6 to 10, yeah. And that's when nobody knows it works. So you're like, yeah, sorry, what was that you said?
And actually, so, on that, how did you tell work? Do they know? I'm assuming they know.
I tell work like...
If they don't, they do
they
now.
Do now.
I tell work like anybody would tell work, and I was absolutely petrified. Because I think women do feel that it's a gross inconvenience to work, which makes you feel...
That's...
Awful. Seriously, I'm not joking you. I'd say every woman who's had to do it just has felt awful about
who
the process.
Am I letting
you shouldn't
down
have to.
And all of that,
you shouldn't have to
of,
because even shouldn't. If your boss is a man, he's probably had a wife that's had kids. Or if they're women, they've probably had or wanted kids at some point. So like they have to understand that it's a normal part of life, you know, and they're encouraged to embrace it, but I still think you can't help but feel that you're letting them down.
So were you concerned about reactions in other ways, though?
No. Sexuality wise, no.
Yeah.
That didn't even come into the equation. It was just, I'm not going to be here for 5 or 6 months.
Can I ask whether anything's come along in the process of, you know, getting pregnant, all those sorts of things, where people have made assumptions about your sexuality or asked about your husband or...
No, actually, and I've expected it from the people in work who I'm not close with. Like, I don't have a sign on my head saying I have a girlfriend.
Yeah.
But certainly everybody, I will never deny Robin, so anytime we... talk, like they know that I've got a female partner. No, there's never been any issue. I've had a couple of people who will say, how? And I'm like, I'm sorry.
And do you find that intrusive though?
Oh my God. Like, I didn't think I would. But when it's from my inner circle and work and the question's genuinely that they're seeking education, like how did you manage it? Like, it depends on how they say it. When you've got people going, IVF, is it Anne-Louise? And you're just like, you don't know me. We've spoken 3 times and I feel obliged to tell them the process. And it's not that I'm ashamed of it. I'm not at all. But, you know, what if I did it in an unconventional way with a male partner? People might judge that, or it just it felt so horribly wrong when people I didn't know would ask me that. And I'm normally an open book. I really am. So when it comes to my friends, I'll tell them the gory details. I really will if they want to know. But when strangers do it, it's really inappropriate. And I don't think, honestly, that's the only time I've ever felt that I was different. I don't think anybody would ask me the process if I was in a straight relationship.
It's true. Ugh. Absolutely true.
Yeah. So it's the only time I've ever felt that. And I did.
It's because no one wants to know in a straight relationship.
Exactly. Because, like, you know, you're not going to say, oh, yes, well, I got my husband's penis very hard. And then, you know, you're not going to go into those intimate details.
That's how it happens.
But I felt, you know, I felt like it was a really intimate question that I'm happy to share with people I love, but I'm not happy to share with just anybody, you know?
While we're doing some pre-show discussion, there was actually some assumptions made out there as well, talking about lesbian pregnancies. Mm. But I don't think that's really the right term for your situation, is it?
Well, yeah. I'm in a lesbian relationship, but yeah. I am bi. But yeah. There's no difference, you I don't with think.
That? Yeah.
Yeah, because just people know me being with Rob. I've been with Robin for 7 years, so it's like I'm in a gay relationship, so it's never been an issue. It's a non-issue.
So, Anne Louise, why would you assume that once you've had the baby that Robin wouldn't perhaps take the time off work and look after the baby?
We discussed it, and we're probably going to co-share when I go off maternity leave, because I really want to breastfeed. So I think it's important for me to take the full maternity leave, because they don't suggest that you stop breastfeeding for the first 4 months. Look, I could be a little bit wrong with that, but I intend on taking that kind of 18 weeks. I might be a little bit shy of that and let her, because she can share it with me by law. She can share it. So maybe I'll let her have the last couple of weeks. And then we're going to probably both go part time or both work 3 days a week for 6 months. Do it that way. So, you know, I've every intent. Oh, trust me, as soon as she's home from work, she's getting the child. I'll be like, there you go. Boof.
And I just, you know, think that, you know, two mummies are better than one.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And Robin will be seriously the best. You should hear her talking to our cats. Sometimes I catch her talking to the cats and she doesn't realise I'm there. And if I'm like, if she's even half that gorgeous with our child, you know, she's just going to be, and she will be a better mother than I am. I know that for a fact. I know that I'm carrying her, but she will be the better mother. She'll be the one that will be like, don't mind your mummy. I'll bring you to the pub. You know, she's 15. She's not going to the pub. I'll take you for your first pint. That'll be Robin, you know, where I'll be the authoritarian and Robin will be the
bossy mum in Disneyland.
Yeah,
mum.
Totally.
You seem more like the pint lady to me.
No, not at all.
No, I'm a non-drinker, so I definitely wouldn't be the pint woman.
I'm wondering if there's a long list or a short list of odd, awful or weird questions that you've been asked. You've told us one.
Mm-hmm.
You had people ask you strange questions?
Honestly, I haven't.
Did you think there would have been more curiosity in a sense or?
No. To be honest with you, the notable reaction that I've had was that my friends who are really close to me didn't inquire. So they kind of computed in their head. There's only a few different ways this could happen. It's probably one of them. And they just left it at that until it came up naturally in conversation. It's the people who don't know me and don't understand that came out, blurted it out with the intrusive questions.
Mm. I'm like sure they all went straight for the turkey baster.
Yeah, probably.
Clayton, I think,
you know, who knows?
He's trying to get turkey baster in a couple of times throughout the hour. I think we're up to the count of two now, aren't we? We're going to come back and chat a little bit more with Anne Louise and get to know her. And we're going to ask some of these awful, horrid list of 10 questions that you should not ask a lesbian mum. When we come back, you're listening to Stand Up Straight on Joy.
Be an ally. Talk it out. Educate yourself. Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Hi, we have Anne Louise, who is sharing the story of her, I don't know if we can say it a story, but the beginning of a new path that she's on, a mum, 22 weeks.
I said the word daughter the other day. Somebody said about my daughter and I was like, oh my God. Because I've always said just little girl, I'm having a girl, yeah, it's all been girl. Now I'm like saying my daughter and that's just so weird.
It is. You'll find there'll be a lot of moments, and especially, I don't know if Stephanie can relate to this, but I remember catching my reflection in a shop window thinking, do I look like that?
I know.
It's being a mum is one of the most phenomenal things, I have to say.
Well, we know that radio is not a visual medium, but just so everyone can know, Anne Louise doesn't look a bit pregnant.
Not at all.
Whatever.
Not at all.
No, it's true. I know. For someone who's 22 weeks pregnant, you look you amazing.
Thank you.
But has that beautiful pregnant glow about it.
Yes.
Look, she's actually wearing the stripes to highlight the bump.
Oh, well done, so, yeah.
It's accentuating my bump.
The opposite of what we usually do.
Yeah, exactly. Vertical stripes, vertical stripes. So we've had a couple of messages in. So thank you. And if you still have a message that you want to send through, you can do 04. I was going to give my number, 0427.
Come on, girl. Joy949.
Well done. And the email address, Anne Louise?
Oh, Jesus. onair@joy.org.au.
Well done.
See?
Well done.
The oh, Jesus part wasn't part of the email address.
A bit of ad-lib going on.
Pardon
so
me.
So we've had a message in from Donna. How does adoption or legalities work with lesbian mums? Is one favoured more or can the other have more equal rights at any point? That's probably a joint question for Beck as well as Anne-Louise.
Yeah, well, I guess I'll put my lawyer hat on. The law in this country struggles to keep up with society sometimes, but Victoria is one of the more progressive states, I think, legally in this space. And one of the things that I think a lot of women don't know, and Anne-Louise, you were saying you didn't realise, is that both mothers are the legal parents of the child, provided they're in a relationship at the time of conception and consented to the procedure. And they're both the legal parents of the child, mm-hmm. and both listed on the child's birth certificate, which is really important. And that's since 2010.
Is there a space for, I don't know, two mother, mums?
Or mother and parent.
So they can't be mother and mother?
No.
Well, because you have to be able to put a man's name in as well.
So I'm wondering, has anyone ever asked you, what will you put on the birth certificate?
Well, I'm the mother.
So has anyone said, but what would you put for father or anything like that? Has anyone ever
No one's asked me that. But I think it's very important, particularly for Robin, for this to happen. Mm-hmm. Because it just means we don't have to go through a lengthy adoption procedure. And also, she gets legal recognition, which is fabulous.
She should.
Selfish for a moment, does that mean that if two guys decided to have a baby, they can't put both names on the
certificate? I actually don't know.
It's...
Oh, Beth. We have Beth here. We have our family.
I was looking at you. I should have been looking at
that. The clock is ticking. It's a lot more complicated, unfortunately, for men. There's ways that they can get legal recognition, I guess, as the child's parent, for want of a different word, but it's unfortunately a lot more complicated for men, and some of that's biology, that the woman's actually having the baby, yes. Whereas with two men, neither of them have, you know, had the child, so it is more complicated for them, and I think there's some work to do in the law reform in that space.
So it hasn't, the process hasn't evolved to understand that?
Yeah, the law always has to catch up a little bit with the world.
Yeah.
There's, Beck, I know on Word for Word there was, I'm not quite sure when, but I know that the podcasts are available and you were part of.
Yeah, I just give a little bit of a plug. My wonderful law firm, Nichols Family Lawyers, we did a podcast radio series with Joy in June last year with Dean Beck and Word for Word where it was called Modern Families and the Law. Mm. And we talked about the legal issues faced by, I guess, rainbow families and some of those complexities about surrogacy, co-parenting arrangements, birth certificates and all those sorts of things. So I know that's still on the Joy website under Word for Word. And I think it's really easy for me to plug because I was part of it. But it's a really user-friendly, useful discussion of some of the legal issues around the rainbow families.
Were you surprised or at all, Anne-Louise, that there were so many legal hoops or so many things that you had to consider?
To be honest with you, this is lesbian privilege. You know, it was pretty simple for us.
Really?
And as well, with our donor gets a mention on the birth certificate as well, because in Victoria, the donor program is quite stringent. So men who do get involved in the donor program, like, they have to go through the same counselling that we do. So it's not just spunking a cup and then get $1,000 for it. It's very much not. It's a very altruistic process.
Hold on, how much?
I think in America you get paid for it, but it's a very much an altruistic process. They're quarantined and all that kind of stuff to make it safe, and as well, the donors also have to consent to being contacted when the child is 18. Mm. So they can choose to have between 3 and 10 families. Oh. So they can say, I only want 3 families to be made. And that can have multiple children per family, or it can be up to up, up to 10, but they have to be prepared to get a phone call from BMD. So basically how it works is when my daughter reaches 18, I'll have an ID on her birth certificate. She can contact the donor. I'll know who the donor is at that point. And the reason behind that, and I guess the logic behind it, is that your child has a right to understand their heritage, which I think is really important. And I'd never want to deny my child that. And I wouldn't have gone through this process if I couldn't have done that. And she can contact him. They can, the BMD will make the arrangements for the meeting or the telephone call or whatever it is. And then it can proceed from there. But I think the whole point is that they're 18, they're adults, they don't need help anymore. So the donor fathers don't need to worry about that aspect of it.
We've had another message in, and one of the things that the discussion has made me think about, this is from the person, is the number of times my sister has had people tell her that their daughter looks like her, even though she is, as she refers to herself, the incubator mum and not the bio mum. Mm. Sometimes she explains the situation and other times she doesn't. So it's actually a friend of mine who messaged in. They were a lesbian couple who decided to take the egg from one mum and put it in the other mum to incubate mm-hmm. the child, so that they both have a very strong connection to the child, one That's from lovely, biology, isn't it? One from physiology. So
yeah.
So do you have to sort of... One of the other stupid questions that was mentioned in this list is that, do you have to be aware of jealousy from the other partner, or would that be an issue? And I think it's an odd question, but I don't know whether it is something that you discuss, because you have different roles, as do, you know, a mother and a father. We have different roles.
Yeah. Well, it's nature versus nurture.
Of course.
So that, you know... We're very strong on the fact that nurture is way outweighs nature. Mm. Absolutely. So Robin doesn't have a problem with it, because I know how much of a positive effect she'll have on our daughter and how much we have the same values. This is why we're so good together. Yeah. You know, we're going to bring up our child a certain way, and, you know, that's going to be afflicted on her, whether she likes it or not, but it will in her early childhood. And I think nature has very little to do with it, literally, except genes. That's all it is. It's physical attributes. There are some personality traits that will come through, yes, but they can be, you know, the physicality can't really be manipulated, but I think people can grow and be different from their parents. For example, if their parents are horrible people, you can be a nice person. It's about nurture, and it's about having the right environment, which I believe we'll both provide.
Speaking of parents, and I think the only question I had, and we didn't even get to what the answer was, but about telling your parents and your siblings, you got a lot of family overseas. Mm-hmm. Did you Skype them, or was it a phone, or was it a text or a post-it?
So my sister, I Skyped, and I told her quite early on when I had my first It's Alive scan, which is 9 weeks. It was quite funny. She was very chuffed. My mum, I didn't want to Skype because I was terrified, because my mum can't really hold in her physical reaction. So I was like, I don't want to see it if it's disappointment. Okay. So I rang her instead, and her reaction was as I expected, but probably a little bit inappropriate. She just said, "What? How? Who's the father?"
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, okay, reflex. Three questions you don't ask your child when she tells you that she's pregnant. And I kind of laughed it off, as I always do when people say inappropriate things to me, because it's my way of coping with it. And, you know, I laughed it off as, oh, it's just her. But, you know, really it was inappropriate. And I think I went home and I discussed it with Robin, and she's like, it was really hurtful what she said. And I said, yeah, it really was hurtful. And I had a word with my sister, and I think she talked to my mother, and I think my mother was mortified that I was hurt by what she said, when it was a natural gut reaction from her. She was like, how the hell, what?
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
I don't think...
But she's done a complete 180, by the way.
I was going to say, I don't think she has.
She's knitting matinee clothes furiously.
We are going to come back and have another couple of minutes with Anne Louise. You're listening to Stand Up Straight on Joy.
Come with me and we'll be in a world of pure froculation. Hello, lovelies, it's Frock Hudson, and you're listening to Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
We're nearly at the top of the hour, and Louise, we wish we'd have you for another couple of hours, but Spirit Lounge in the Woods.
Ah, Jesus, we could talk for days. Come on.
Certainly could. lots and lots of questions. We might get you, we'll follow your pregnancy live.
Maybe
on
when
air.
I'm a, when I'm a big heifer, you can get me back in again.
It's our very own stand up straight baby.
Yes! The big question, Beck, is what. Who is going to be? Who is she going to be named after? Don't tell us, Anna Louise.
I won't tell you.
Big
it's
question.
It's Fleetwood Mac, I'm afraid. He just didn't get a look in. I shall talk to you later about it.
Role model mums. Do you think you are? And are you going to be?
Big question. I've definitely got my flaws. I think Robin's perfect. I think she'll be. I think she'll be a great. I have like the shortest fuse.
It'll
where
change.
Robin has. All the patience. Clearly, she's with me, so she has all the patience in the world, and she's just a wonderful person. And I think, honestly, I can't think, and all of our friends say this, I can't think of anybody who would make a better mother than her. Honestly,
that's beautiful,
really
beautiful.
It's
beautiful.
True.
I just want to mention before we go the lesbian couple we had. Sorry, my mic wasn't on. They actually have a blog you can check out at biomumandincubatormum.blogspot.com.au.
I think that's awesome what they've done. And I think that's like the ultimate, really, isn't it? Like, it's pretty hard to do, but it's the ultimate. It's fantastic.
So thank you so much for joining us. We'll have you in a couple more times and see how things are progressing, if anything else you want to share with us. I'm quite sure there will be. Thank you, Stephanie, across the desk, for making us sound wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Clayton, for joining us. Thank you, Beck, for the legal angles.
Oh, look, and I won't even charge you for it this time, Michelle.
Good on you. And thank you, the lovely Anne Louise. And we love you, Robin,
so
too.
Nice.
Thank you, everyone. Spirit Lounge at 8 o'clock. 9 o'clock is The Woods. You've been listening to the gang of Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.